For many, many reasons, this is a very special day. Of course, I've been extremely busy with doing many things, some things for some of you. And for the first time in many years, I have not had time to look up to see if the blood of St. Januarius liquefied today. So if anyone of you has your internet with you, you can tell me in the hall. Not now. If it has liquefied, it has liquefied. Otherwise, there may be great punishment according to the tradition. And in recent years, it has liquefied. Of course, the church does not necessarily see that as a miracle, but it is a phenomenon that no one can explain. And so therefore, it probably is a miracle. And whenever the blood of St. Januarius, in the early days of the church, of course, today is his feast, in case you didn't gather that, in the early days of the church, the Christians collected not only the bodies, the relics of the saints, but also they mopped up and sopped up their blood and put it into vials. And the blood of St. Januarius has been kept for 1,700 years or so. And on his feast day, and there's a couple of days, there's more than one feast of his, whenever they put the vial of his blood next to the relic of his head, of his skull, the blood begins to come. Right now it's totally coagulated like little rocks. And once it's put next to the skull, all of a sudden it begins to bubble in a most wonderful way. And then it turns into fresh blood as if it had been spilled just then. Whenever that happens, nothing bad happens. And of course, the Neapolitans, he was the bishop of Benevento, a suburb today of Naples, they really hold on to these traditions, some say superstitions, but they're not, because it happens. It's not done. Nothing that man does can make it liquefy. Nothing that man does can stop it from liquefying. And so every year the cardinal archbishop takes the relic of the blood to the relic of the skull, and it liquefies. Whenever it doesn't liquefy, Mount Vesuvius and Mount Etna and all kinds of things start erupting and killing thousands and thousands of people. And so they are very beholden to this sign from God. And that is why in the gospel we have this gospel about the signs. This has nothing to do with St. Januarius, but the fact is that things do take place. Signs do happen from God. And of course, when you live in the Spirit of God, and some of you are living more so today than you were last week, since you received the fullness of the Holy Spirit on Sunday in the sacrament of confirmation, you should be living in the Spirit and by the Spirit and do nothing that will offend or hurt the Spirit, because now you belong to Him totally. And He to you. So if you live in the Spirit, you can figure out and decipher and ask our Lord to give you signs to show you what is real, what is false, what is happening, what is not. Now, of course, the apostles, as many people always are, and they're fixated on it, the end of the world. Ultimately speaking, who cares? Your world and my world will end. Mine will end shortly, if that is God's will. And of course, all the signs are coming one after the other. And so, as I was telling Brother Jake this morning, I hope and pray that I can be at your ordination, but you need to take care of your father, otherwise I will not. And so, and the same thing to Brother Aaron. So today, the Feast of Saint Januarius and his deacons, the Bishop of Benevento, in the 4th century, the beginning of the 4th century. They were tortured, and then their heads were chopped off with a sword, and then the blood spilled, and the Christians saved it all. And another particularly important event is taking place today. Today is a feast of Our Lady of La Salette. On this day in 1846, I believe it was, she appeared in the mountains near Montpellier, the wonderful, beautiful, beautiful mountains. And she appeared to two shepherd children, Melanie and I forget the little boy, his name. Melanie was more famous because she joined a religious community and was everybody wanted to see her. But they saw this beautiful, beautiful lady surrounded by light, and she was sitting on a rock on the mountain, and she was weeping and weeping and weeping. And they asked her in compassion. They went to her, and they were good children, not saints yet. They were good children, and they went up to her to ask her what was wrong. And then she stood up, and still weeping, there was not a moment during her apparitions that she did not weep. And she told them that our Lord was highly offended. He was highly offended, one, at the desecration of the Lord's day, Sunday. The people were still working on Sunday and were making all kinds of excuses. And our Lord hates this. Dr. Scott Hahn tells us that in the Old Testament, when a person who did not observe the Lord's day was described, he was described as six. And as a result, six became a bad number. Seven is a perfect number. And so, later on, when they were speaking about Satan, who is the ultimate evil that can possibly exist, he was described as 666. Because in the Old Testament, when you want to make something the superlative, in English you say the most beautiful. In Latin, or in Hebrew rather, in the Old Testament, you would say beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Now, some people always repeat themselves, so that's another story. That has nothing to do with anything. So, that's why we say, and the angels in heaven sing to God, Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus. Holy, 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 because there is nothing holier than God. So, too, evil in its ultimate description is 666. One who refuses to observe the covenant with God. And so, the Blessed Mother wept. The people were not observing the covenant. Thou shalt keep holy the Lord's day, which for us is no longer the Sabbath. It is Sunday, the day of the resurrection, the day of Pentecost. And then she also complained very much, and weeping also, about the second commandment. So you have the third, and then you have the second. Imagine the first. The second commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And how many people, even baptized Catholics and confirmed Catholics, take the name of God in vain continuously? And not only in vain, but disrespectfully. OMG, OMG. If you turn the TV on, it's every 2 seconds. They don't even believe in God. Why are they calling upon him with such disrespect? The only time you should say the name of God is to praise him and to bless him and to teach others about him. And so the Blessed Mother wept. And today we celebrate that day on which she appeared to the two young children, and many other things has happened. She also prophesied that the church would be in great travail, which it is. And I mentioned this 10 years ago when I said this has begun already. And most people didn't know what I was talking about. And also, she said, as the Lord says here too, that because iniquity hath abounded, the charity of many shall grow cold. And I was complaining, in a sense, or commenting to my spiritual director yesterday on the phone. He is a monk. He's in San Diego, who suffers horrible, horrible persecution for the Holy Catholic faith and for the true Mass. And I was saying, I cannot understand. These are supposed to be traditional Catholics. And he said, my dear son, this is everywhere. It's not just there. Many traditional Catholics are no longer going to Mass every day. For whatever reasons, they're not. They have every excuse under the sun. The churches are basically empty. And of course, we know that this is true even in these parts where the traditional Mass is or is not celebrated. So we see the charity of many hath grown cold. Charity, the faith and grace of God. When we do not love God with all our heart, with all our being, with all our soul, our charity grows cold. The fire of the Holy Spirit that is supposed to be in our hearts begins to go smaller and smaller and smaller until you see smoke coming out of your heart, and your heart becomes cold and frozen and useless to you and will only lead you to eternal hell. Do not think that God for one second overlooks our sins. Beware. Beware. He that shall persevere, he shall be saved. Our Lady of La Salette, pray for us. And pray for the clergy and the hierarchy everywhere. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.